Would you pray with me? Oh, bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. And worship your holy name. For you are holy, holy, holy. Father, you are set apart. Magnificent, wonderful, perfect. Father, thank you that in your grace, through Jesus, you have cleansed us, purified us through your perfect sacrifice, Jesus, on the cross. It's through your grace that we can stand and we can proclaim that truth. Oh, you are holy, yet you are our God. We have a relationship with you, Father, through the blood of Christ. And so, Father, I pray you would bless this morning. Lord, I pray you would still my heart. Lord, that you would be our vision this morning as we talk about the waves. Lord, more importantly, we talk about you. And I thank you, Jesus, you have not left us alone. You've given us your Holy Spirit who is working. So, Father, we rest in that truth. We rest in knowing that your Holy Spirit is working amongst our body. And we look forward to seeing where you will take us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is a privilege to be with you this morning. And as I've said, sometimes I don't always tell everything about what's going on, but some Sunday mornings it's good just to let you know that I had to scatter to get this message together. So Amanda and I were blessed this week. We spent time in Ocean City, New Jersey. That's where we like to vacation. It's kind of funny. We go to the Jersey Shore because we're from Pennsylvania. And always go to Ocean City pretty much. Love the place. Love the mini golf courses there. My family's kind of obsessed with mini golf. It's something we do pretty much every night. And so we go to the same place almost every week too. It's one of the cheapest golf courses called Tee Time. If you've ever been to Ocean City, New Jersey, we go there often. If you went there, you would go, wow, this is probably the cheapest place there. And you'd be correct. But it's also a lot of fun for us. We are a competitive family, which can get us in trouble sometimes, but can also be a lot of fun. And so we enjoy time together. And so we got home last night around 5:30 and got a call about Wes. And then I knew, okay, Father, you have a message. You have a word for grace coming through me. And let's see what it is. So by God's grace, though, he's actually been working through me. And a passage of Scripture that I want to read to you and let you in on some of what God's been doing in my life, what God's been doing in my wife's life. And maybe that will encourage your heart this morning too, because I find that when God is working through me, it actually can be an encouragement for you as well. And so I hope you leave this place encouraged this morning. The title of the message is In the Boat with Jesus. In the Boat with Jesus. And I want to highlight Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. And eventually I want to get to, if we have time, I want to get to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That's Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. So if you're taking notes, you're welcome to put that down. And so the reason why I think in some respects I get a little emotional in these times is because there's a level of vulnerability when I'm in this situation. I don't have time to prepare as much. And I got to be honest, I'm also just kind of an emotional dude. It is what it is. Thank you. But at the same time, this is an opportunity for me to share my heart. So I'm going to share some stories. If I do look a little emotional, it's because this is real life. And God's been working through me. I am grateful. I've seen him at work in my life. These past 8 months or so that I've been here, I've lost track, to be honest. I don't know how long I've been here now. But I've seen God at work in my life. And over the past few months, I've been going to this passage and this truth. In fact, I'm not an artist at all, but I drew on my whiteboard in my office a wave, a few waves, and a boat. And that boat is a reminder to me of this passage that Jesus is in the boat with me. And the waves that are crashing around me, those are the waves of ministry. Because believe it or not, ministry is messy. Got to be honest with you. As I was driving home, usually when I leave New Jersey, I go home to Pennsylvania. And there I was, driving home to New York, to you. And there was a moment I had to honestly pause in some respects in my heart and go, Father, this does not feel like home. It does not feel like home. Home to me is central Pennsylvania. Home to me is my mountains. These little mountains in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania that I love. Home to me is my grandparents' pool. It's my grandparents' farm. Home to me is comfortable. Home to me is being able to do nothing but watch sports. Amen. Yeah, right? But watch sports. I mean, it's so funny. So this is letting you in on my life. I love sports. In fact, my brother and I were watching Summer League basketball on the boardwalk. I'm a Sixers fan. This is pathetic. So I'm watching these guys that aren't even going to play in the NBA for the most part. Yet we're getting excited and enjoying every moment of it. And so that, to me, that's home. It's comfortable. And to some respects, being here in Lake Katrine is not comfortable at times. Because it's not what I know. And so there was a moment as I was driving going, Father, I feel the waves at this moment. I feel the waves. And maybe you feel the waves too this morning. By God's grace, I know that I have been called to be a part of Lake Katrine. It's so weird. God would call somebody from central Pennsylvania to Kingston, New York, and say, I want you to go and be a missionary to the greater Kingston area. And I say, okay, Lord, whatever, whatever you want to do, call me and my wife here. We've been blessed to see God working in your lives. I know so many stories I could share of how I've seen God at work in people at Grace Church. And that fires me up. And to be honest, this does feel like home. Because I know God is working in this place. And I'm so privileged to be a part of what God's doing at Grace Church. But I felt the waves as I was driving home. I felt the waves. And so when I got home, I got a call from Karen. Because poor Wes was laid up bad. I got a call from Karen, and I'm immediately going, she's going to tell me that Wes hurt his back, and I'm preaching today. Sure enough, Wes hurt his back, I'm preaching today. So here I am. And as I'm walking around, immediately, this passage came to mind. And I thought, okay, Lord, this is the passage. How crazy is that? I was just at the beach looking at waves, and here I am now telling you about Matthew 28, verses 23 through 27. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to follow along. Feel free to underline this passage. Go back to it when you experience the waves of your life. But it reads, then he got up into the boat, and his disciples followed him. This is Jesus. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. If you could flip to Mark. Mark's account, I think, is a little more crazy, a little more descriptive. And so I'll read this one as well. Same story, but from somebody else. In some respects, I look at this as Luke as being one of my brothers, who is less descriptive, my youngest brother. And then my middle brother can be at times a little more descriptive, a little more edgy. And so Mark's a little more edgy. He'll give you the details and then some. He'll let you know probably more than you even realize could have been taking place. And so in verse 35 it reads, that day when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we're going to drown?" He got up, rebuked the winds, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I love that description. "Quiet, be still." And then he turns to his disciples and says, "Why are you so afraid?" And I think to myself, what would I have been like if I was a disciple in that moment? There I am in a boat. I think that I'm with the Messiah. But in that moment, all I can see is the waves. And I think to myself, I am going to die. I am going to die. Yet the disciples turn to Jesus and say, "Hello, wake up, wake up. How are you sleeping on a cushion?" In some respects, this makes me think, was the cushion wet? I have no idea. I don't know. We don't actually know. But either way, Jesus is asleep. How beautiful a picture is that as the waves are crashing? So they wake him up. "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And he quiets the winds and the waves and blows the disciples' minds. Actually, I honestly, by reading this, it says they were terrified. I think they genuinely were. They're seeing the God of the universe at work, and it scares them. Who is this? And I want to ask you this morning, how are the waves in your life? How are the waves in your life? Do you find yourself looking to them? Does it scare you to feel the boat go up and down? Or have you been reminded of this truth as I constantly remind myself, I'm in the boat with the living God? How cool is it that Jesus is actually sleeping too? I just think that's so awesome. He's just completely confident. He shows his confidence displayed in a human form. There's no need to be afraid. And so he says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Which leads me to this question for you. Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? But faith in what? We live in a world that tells us, have faith in yourself. Be confident who you are. One common phrase is, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Buck up. Right? We hear those kind of things all the time. Be confident who you are. Yet I don't think that's what this is talking about. Because in that moment, the disciples, if they weren't with the God of the universe, they were in a lot of trouble. They were probably going to drown. So this is not talking about pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's not talking about having faith in yourself. It's having faith in someone. It's not simply believing in faith. It's believing in faith in Jesus. Jesus looks at them and says, "Hello, I am with you. I am here. I am sleeping. If I am sleeping, don't worry. It's going to be okay." And so he says to you, "I am with you." You feel the waves. You feel the boat going up and down. Yes, it's part of life. But I am with you. I am here in the boat with you. Those are not Kent Hosmith's words today. If those were Kent Hosmith's words, it would be very cold words. But I proclaim that truth because I believe Jesus wants you to hear that this morning, wherever you are at. Because I know that there are other people in this room that are struggling. Even while I was at the beach, I heard of someone from my home in Pennsylvania who had passed away. And it just reminded me over and over again that this life is finite. It's short. One minute you're up, the next minute you're down. Sometimes you don't know where you are. And that is life. Do you know who's in the boat with you? Also, I want to remind you this morning, who controls the wind and the waves in your life? You do not control the wind or the waves. On Saturday, Amanda and I were finishing up. I'm kind of glad, actually. It was pretty windy, so we left early, so I got home earlier, which gave me more time to do this. But it was windy, and Amanda kept saying, "Oh, Lord, please let the wind die down. Please let the wind die down." We don't have any control over that. It's still a perfect day, honestly. We were blessed. Here I am listening to the wind and the waves crashing and just thinking, "Lord, you are so good." Calming my heart. But do you know the one who holds the wind and the waves in his hands? Who can say, "Be still"? I certainly can't say, "Be still." You certainly can't say, "Be still." But we can trust in the one who does say, "Be still." And we can be confident no matter what. If we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he is with us. And even unto death, he will never leave us. Romans 8 is so beautiful. It says that we are more than conquerors. It goes on and says, what can separate us from the love of God? And the conclusion? Nothing. Nothing can separate us. Not even death can separate us from the love of God. He is for you this morning. Know that truth. Yes, the waves may be crashing in your life, but know that truth. The waves do not control you. The waves do not control your soul. Jesus controls your soul if you put your trust in him. And he will never leave you. Be reminded of that truth. And as I've told you, this passage is something that I go to in my own life, because to be honest, this isn't just about life or death. Often I think we experience the waves when we're following Jesus. Part of discipleship, part of walking with Jesus, following Jesus, means getting in the boat. When you're following Jesus, you're saying, "I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to get in the boat. I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow my own way. I'm not going to be my own master anymore. I'm going to get in a car. I'm going to take my things and my wife, and I'm going to drive to Kingston, New York, and I'm going to see what you have in store, because you've called me here, Jesus." Sounds crazy to everybody else. I have a good job. I like my life. But I believe you call me to something greater. You have a purpose and a plan for me. It's far beyond material things. Man, I'm so glad I've been blessed to do this. So blessed to be a part of what God is doing in the Kingston area. Seeing people come to Christ. Seeing people take steps of faith. Watching people admit that they are in the boat, watching people admit that they are seeing the waves, yet instead of stopping and going to the sideline, they continue on and press forward to see what God will do. Blessed to see what God is doing here in Grace Church, and I hope you are encouraged as well. But please be reminded of this truth, that when you follow Jesus, you will experience the winds and the waves. You will experience the winds and the waves. For me, it's been as I'm planning and processing and thinking through, okay, God, you called me here. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me? And sometimes I don't know. I have to pause and be still. This morning, to be honest with you, there was a moment where I thought, okay, I got to get back to studying. I got to get back to studying. And I thought, no, I'm going to go to the prayer room. I'm going to settle my heart. I'm going to trust the Lord in this time. I know what he has for me to share. Do not be afraid. Be confident. And I say the same to you this morning. Be still. And maybe that's what God is calling you to this morning. Just as he tells the waves to be still, he says, be still. It reminds me of Joshua. Sorry, this is spur of the moment because I did not prepare this, but I think the Lord's drawing me here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." And I think the Lord says the same to us this morning. Be strong and courageous. Later on, he tells them to watch what God will do to them. And God goes before them. And if you know any of the stories in Joshua and Judges, I love to read them, where Jesus goes before them, especially with Gideon. He goes before Gideon and tells Gideon, and Gideon looks to God and says, "I'm not going to win these battles. I need more people." Jesus sends him out with 300 people and they win the battle. In fact, God goes out and fights for them and wins the battle for them. And God says the same to you. Yes, in the world's eyes, the waves look very big. And in the world's eyes, it looks like you are going to drown. Yet God says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't have courage in yourself, but have courage in the one who's in the boat with you. I think it's cool how God uses this illustration of his disciples, and he tells them, later on, I think in Luke, he says, "You have little faith, why do you doubt?" Yet these are the same people who are going to go on in Acts, and they're going to be the catalysts for taking the gospel to the world. Thankfully, God used them to proclaim his truth to all people. Now we get to be a part of that. So if you find yourself failing right now, if you think that, okay, I feel very submerged, I'd invite you, be reminded who is in the waves with you. Who is in the waves with you? So I have three places of application this morning beyond this. And the first thing is simple. The first thing is very simple. Do you know Jesus? Because if you don't know Jesus, he's not in the boat with you. If you don't have a relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is not inside you. Yes, yes, he is still working. Yes, he can still, as Ecclesiastes says, he allows the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. So by his grace, he still allows us to experience favor to one extent, even if we haven't accepted Christ. But at the same time, if you have not put your trust in Jesus, you do not have the Holy Spirit in you. Do not misunderstand this truth. You have to put your trust in Jesus to have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. What does that mean? It means that you have understood that I am a sinner, that I'm not good enough on my own. I'm not going to be able to earn my salvation. It's the first step. But you have to believe that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died. Physically died on a cross. And he was the perfect substitute for our sin. He took our sin on himself. No one else could, but only Jesus could do this. And he died and paid for our sin. All God asks, all he asks is that we put our trust in Jesus. We say, "I admit it, I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. Turn from my sin. Turn to you, Jesus. I believe that you are enough for me. I trust you to be my Lord and Savior." If you do that, you can enter into a relationship with the God of the universe this morning. And God says that he will give you his Holy Spirit as if he was abiding with you in a boat. He abides within your body. And the same resurrecting power that raised Christ from the dead is the same resurrecting power at work within our bodies as well. And one day it will raise us physically, spiritually, to be in the presence of the living God forever. Oh, I look forward to that day. But do you know Jesus? Because that's where this all starts. And if you do, then be reminded he's in the boat with you. But understand this truth. I know that it's very easy to want to stay on the sidelines. Simply put, I'll let you in on an experience I had while I was at the beach. So I was out on, I think this was Thursday. It's a beautiful day on Thursday. Beautiful day, sorry. And I love to body surf. Like, I love to, like, dive in on the waves and ride them in. And sometimes I land flat on the sand. And it's just a great time. Just a great time. I feel like a little kid in that moment. I wake up the next morning and go, why do I hurt so much? It's because I'm not a little kid. But as I was out in the waves with my youngest brother, all of a sudden, I felt this hit. Knocked me basically off my feet. My brother thought that it was a little kid. I thought it was a little kid, too. Maybe just kind of like, there were some like 12, 13-year-olds that were out throwing a ball, and I thought maybe one of them just like pelted me really hard, because it literally knocked me off my feet. Till we realized that it was actually a ray that had run into me. I was like, yeah, at that point I was like, oh, wow, okay, we're getting out of here. So I go to the lifeguard, and my brother actually was the one. I was kind of like startled, like, what just happened? Like, my back hurts. Had a nice little whoop. My brother said, maybe you should go tell the lifeguard what just happened, just in case he wants to know. So I go to the lifeguard and tell him, hey, I just got hit by some fish. I at that time, I didn't actually know that it was a ray. And so the lifeguard tells me, yeah, it could be a lot of things. Like, looks at me, this is the ocean. Could be a lot of things. But then he tells me, probably could be a ray. And I think, okay. Well, and then he just pauses, and I said, well, where are we, you know, are you going to do anything? Or he just kind of said, well, thank you. So I put my thumb up. He put his thumb up. I walked off, walked away. And in that moment, I kind of realized, if you're going to go in the ocean, you kind of take a risk. It's part of going in the ocean. Yeah, it's a low risk, but there's a chance that you could get run into by a ray. Thankfully, I got hit in the front end of the ray. But let me tell you, man, that thing packs a punch. But later on that day, I went back in the ocean. And I thought, you know, I got it. If I don't go back in the water, I got a problem. I just got to face this fear and just go and do this. So I go out, and I didn't go all the way out at first, but slowly but surely, I made my way out into the water and rode some more waves in. Until later on, I actually saw this ray riding a wave in himself. He has little, whatever you call those things. I'm not a biologist, but he had his sides up, and I thought, this is nuts. I'm getting out of here. So I left. I did leave. The ray won. I got to be honest, though. I think the ray was just having a good time. I looked them up later. I found out they're docile creatures. I kind of believe that. He did look like he was having a lot of fun. I realized I think I scared him just as much as he scared me. But didn't ruin my day. In the same way, though, I want to remind you this. As you're following Jesus, he calls you to go out into the waters. He calls you to go out into the waters. So don't be surprised when the waves come, because it's part of following Jesus. When we take next steps of telling our friends who Jesus is, who the Lord of our life is, when we tell people about Jesus, yeah, it gets a little uncomfortable. When we take the Bible seriously, it can make our lives a little uncomfortable. Because, to be quite honest, everything changes. When you put your trust in Jesus, you've been given a mission. And that mission is the Great Commission. We talk about it often here at Grace. It's Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. We've been told, if we've accepted Christ, that we are to go and make disciples. That means we got to get in the boat, and we have to get in the waves, because we have to trust that the Lord is the one leading us and guiding us. And he has called us to go into the messiness of life, to be his ambassadors, to go and make disciples. So when you go to your neighbor and you begin living this truth out, and you even have the opportunity to share Christ with them, I'm not saying you just go up to them, knock on the door and say, hey, you need to believe in Jesus. Often I think we make this way harder than it is. I think that as we are around our friends and we live out this truth and we have opportunities to share Christ, who he is and what he's doing in our life, as we do this, yeah, it does make our lives uncomfortable. Amen. Don't misunderstand that. But also understand this truth. Those are just waves. Those are just waves. And you were called to get in the boat. And you are in the boat with Jesus. My mom says this phrase often, and not often, she says this phrase, and I don't know who actually came up with this. I think she read it somewhere. You probably know who it is, but the phrase is, don't freak out, lean in. Don't freak out, lean in. When the waves crash, we have a tendency to go, oh no! when we tell the gospel, we have a tendency of going, oh no, they're never going to treat me the same way again. I've changed the dynamics of my friendship. And you probably have. But those are the moments when we get to lean into God and say, you know what, Father? This makes me uncomfortable. But I know you called me to this, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have faith, not faith in myself. I'm going to have faith in Jesus. And sure enough, sometimes the waves come crashing down. Sometimes people do not listen to us. It can change friendships. I've seen people walk away from me, and I've lost some friendships in some respects because of my walk with Jesus. There are some people that are not my friend. But I got to be honest with you. As I've walked this life, God has blessed me with some great, great friends because I have taken his gospel seriously. To be honest, he led me here to you. To be your brother. And he has called you as well to go and make disciples. So what does that look like? If you've accepted Christ but you find yourself on the sidelines, I think a simple step, a very simple step, is just engaging more at Grace Church. How can you do that? And if you're on the sidelines, simple way, if you are a woman, we're going to have this event coming up. I do believe, sorry, it is on July 14th at Hunter Mountain for a sky ride and a picnic. Good times. If you're not engaged at Grace Church, I invite you, if you're a woman, this could be a great opportunity for you to get to know other people. Guys, we have these men's breakfasts. I don't know if we have one set up yet. I think it's probably coming in the beginning of September, if not before. These are great opportunities for you to engage the body. A simple step could even be just coming out to the picnic today. I think we're going to have a fun time. But I invite you, get engaged at Grace. That could be a next step for you. An easy next step is just getting in the Word. Maybe if you have a device, if you want to download the YouVersion app, just press play and start listening to the book of John. It only takes like 3 to 4 minutes to usually read a chapter, if not less. And then just allow that to meditate in your heart throughout the day. These are simple next steps. Or a next step could simply be putting your trust in Christ in the moment of the wave. Calling the wave what it is, it's a wave. It's not life or death, it's a wave. And even if it is death, God can never be separated from me. He promises that in his word. Again, this sounds very cold if this comes from Kent, but these are not the words of Kent. These are the words of God in his word, the Bible. So put your trust in Christ today. Yeah, call the waves what they are. They're waves. It's okay. It's okay to call a wave what it is. But trust in the one who controls the wind and the waves. And lastly, I would invite you, if another next step for you, you're saying, well, I'm getting more engaged at Grace, but I want to take a next step. I would invite you, think through who is in my sphere of influence. Who has God blessed me with having the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to live out God's faith, the faith that God has given me? Maybe just process that. Think about who are your close friends. Maybe who's your closest friend? If they don't know Jesus, it's probably the person. It's probably the person that God's calling you to go and make a disciple of first. And begin to live out the gospel to them. He has saved you for a purpose. A purpose isn't just to come on a Sunday morning, but that purpose is to go and make disciples. To God be the glory. We get to magnify his name to others. So that, I would encourage you, that could be a great next step. Just write down the name of a person that God is calling you to go and influence for his honor and glory. And wait and see what he will do. You never know. You never know. Because when we live with God as our power, the playing field has shifted. We're no longer living in man's strength, living it by the power of the God of the universe. So I want to finish this time in prayer, and then we're going to sing a hymn, Amazing Grace. And please do reflect on this truth. As we said before in 1 Corinthians 15, by God's grace I am what I am. It is by his grace that we can stand, knowing that Christ has won the victory. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you this morning for reminding us of this truth. You hold the wind and the waves in your hand, and we can trust you, Father, regardless of any of our circumstances. You promise nothing can separate us from your love. Father, would you continue to call workers out into your harvest field? You say that the harvest is plentiful. We trust you in that. You also say that the workers are few. We know that's true as well. So, Father, would you please send workers into your harvest field, especially us, Father. I pray you give us opportunities to proclaim your gospel to the world, to the lost. Father, that they may come to know you too, the God who has saved us, redeemed us, the God who calls us to be strong and courageous. Oh, we give you the honor and glory, Father, because it's by your amazing grace that we stand. In Jesus' name, amen.